Scott Powers from ESPN in Chicago joins us. Scott, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Did you watch the video? Did it make you want to vote for Jonathan Toews?
I don't think Jonathan Toews is going to have any problem. I don't think the Blackhawks are going to have any problem. According to the numbers today, I think they have 5 of the 6 guys getting in, so I'm sure it just kind of throwing on top of everything else. But, yeah, it was certainly funny and humorous. I enjoyed Kane in the background, too, and some pretty good backup dancers.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Patrick Sharp, easily the best one.
Yes.
Looking at the Chicago Blackhawks, really right where they've been for the last few years, right near the top. They're 3 points behind Anaheim. They have 2 games in hand. They've only lost 9 games in regulation. They've scored the most goals in the entire Tampa Bay scored more. In the West, they've scored the most for sure. Is there anything not right in Chicago? Is this kind of another ho-hum regular season, and then we'll get to the playoffs and see how it goes?
They weren't great last year during the regular season and kind of picked it up. And this is a little bit more comparable to the 2013 season where, they're kind of cruising from the start a little bit. But I guess the one knock on this team, the one uncertainty still, is the third defensive pairing. Where before they had Nicoletti, and obviously they had to trade Nicoletti to get underneath the cap. So I think that's the one area where they've still tried to, there's some uncertainty there and inconsistency. But otherwise, they're pretty solid throughout. They've dealt with Corey Crawford being injured a few times, and both their backup goaltenders have been really good, and dealt with Sharp being out for a month, and then some guys here banged up. And, they just seem to have that depth again where, at least their top nine is producing, and then, your fourth line has been really good. And their penalty kill has been, it's at a record pace, as we know, at 92% almost. So a lot of different things clicking for them. And, again, the power play has not been great, but it's they've proven the last 2 times they won the cup, and a lot of teams have proven this in the past where, not having the power play is not really an essential to winning at all.
Looking ahead, Scott, Toews and Kane's contracts kick in next year. That'll be $21 million from two players. The salary cap might go up a little bit, but maybe not as much as some people originally thought. Is this going to kind of be like circa 2010? They're going to have to sell off some guys after a long run, whether they win the cup or not. Do you see them having to get rid of some guys that they don't necessarily want to?
Yeah, no, I mean, the numbers add up. They have 15 players signed already, and with those 15 players, I think it's close to $66 million committed. So, the hope is, even now, is with $73 million, so you're talking $7 million for 6 players, and then one of those players is Brandon Saad, who will be a restricted free agent. So, you think he's going to demand more? He had talked about re-signing, or at least talking extension during the season. Now, as him and his agent have both turned it off and saying they're going to wait until the end. And the fact that he's playing on the top line with Hosa and Toews and been producing, and he looks like he's taking another gradual step. And he's only 22 years old, and so you figure he's going to get paid. And Marcus Kruger is a restricted free agent, so. They're certainly going to have to get rid of someone they're not going to want to. When you look at guys that are expiring contracts the following season or have not many years left but make a lot of money, it's guys like Sharp and Brent Seabrook and, Brian Bickle. The fact they gave him $4 million after his big 2013 season, now it's coming to, haunt them a little bit where he certainly hasn't played like a top 6 player, especially in the regular season. So it's another guy, if they can figure out a way to, someone to take that contract, he's got about 2 years remaining after the season, that he's another guy they may look at. But, the money, it's going to add up pretty quickly where they're just not going to have space. So they're going to have to get rid of one of the guys that have been kind of considered the core for some time.
Johnny Oduya, financially, I don't see any way they can sign him. So who do you think they would move up into their top four?
Trevor Van Riemsdyk looked really good when he was, before he got hurt last month. So I think he's a guy. The Blackhawks actually have a lot of guys in the minors in the AHL right now that are, on the cusp. A lot of guys that they, high draft picks that they like that just haven't had that chance yet. And a few of them got a chance to come up this year. But and Quinville hasn't shown a lot of trust in some of those young defensemen. But I think next year they're going to be forced to. Roosevelt's going to leave. And I think from that standpoint might be the reason why they keep Seabrook, just because they don't have a lot of experienced guys. But, guys like Stephen Johns, who's in Notre Dame, who's a former, I think it was a second-round pick, and Adam Clendenning, who's been pretty good in the AHL. And they have a few more guys like that where I think they'll have to be turned to. And You know, even how they have David Rundblad, who Stan Bowen's been big on, and they just traded for Tim Erickson from Columbus, who's only 23, and he'll be restricted free agent, too. So a lot of young guys, but, yeah, eventually you're going to have to turn them because they lose two experienced guys in Rose Bowl and Azulia, who both will be unrestricted after the season. I just don't see a way that, for them signing them.
I don't see their goaltending having a change anytime soon. Now, how's Antti Aranta played as a backup?
You know, last year he struggled. You know, coming over from Finland was up and down, really struggled being the secondary goalie. You know, he was good when he was, you know, getting the starts consistent when Crawford got hurt. But, you know, having to play every maybe 2-3 weeks, he didn't adjust well. And, you know, there's a lot of expectations for him coming over Finland where he had been the playoff MVP and the regular season MVP. Didn't show it. This year has been a whole different thing. And, you know, his numbers have been really good. You know, and I think 940 save percentage. I think he's 6-2-2 or something like that. And then the other guy, Scott Darling, is the guy they picked up. He was with the Milwaukee Admirals last year in the AHL and kind of picked him up just as an extra guy. And he's been phenomenal, too, where he's kind of a late bloomer, had some problems early in his career and bounced around. I think he's been with 10-plus teams, and he's been really good, too. So I think the Blackhawks went 8-1 without Crawford this last stretch. And now the Blackhawks haven't lost a beat, and they have a couple of goaltenders. And they even signed Michael Layden, who's been pretty good in the AHL, so a lot of depth there. And that was a bit of a concern last year where they had Nikolai Hobbit-Bullen as a backup, and that certainly worked out. And then Ronto was kind of forced to come up early, and he didn't really pan out as well.
Scott Powers joins us from ESPN in Chicago. Looking at the Blackhawks, and, you know, you talk about, it's funny, Oilers fans are texting in, oh, third pairing defenseman's your biggest problem? Must be nice. but, you know, in all seriousness, when you look at their forwards, like St. Louis and Nashville right now, we saw last year the Hawks, the reason they beat St. Louis was strictly, you know, their top-end skill guys were better. St. Louis, Tarasenko's emerging as an elite skill guy, Jaden Schwartz. Talk about that matchup, and do you still think the Hawks would rather face Nashville over St. Louis if they had their choice?
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. I still think St. Louis is a better team, and but it's become such a fun rivalry too. I thought the Blues outplayed the Blackhawks for much of that series last year, where you know, they were up 2-0 in the series, and then I believe Ken Hitchcock even said that he thought Game 3 in Chicago was their best game of the series, and Crawford stole it, and you know, and threw the shutout. So I think last year St. Louis might have even been a better team, and then, you know, Blackhawks got going at the right time, and Crawford played really well. But, I think they'd still prefer Nashville. I think the Blues are, you know, obviously the goaltending's always been a question mark for them for the last couple of years, not finding that consistency. But, you know, from top to bottom, the Blues are pretty good and can produce. And, I think one of the differences this year from the Blackhawks, too, is that I feel like they have that depth again, where last year, you know, guys like Michael Hands, who probably shouldn't have been in the second line center. I know that he played really well in 2013, but age kind of caught up with him. Christopher Speak certainly wasn't the player they expected to be when they traded for him from Florida, and, you know, he was a healthy scratch by the end of the season. You know, you've guys like Brandon Bolick in the roster who just, you know, was decent during the regular season, but when it comes to the playoffs, you know, when the year they won the Cup was, like, Dave Bowen was on the fourth line, and, you know, even Brian Bickle was the guy that starred, you know, scored that big Cup goal against the Bruins in game six. So I think when you look at this team, depth is the one key, where they have a lot of obviously high-end power, but it's still that fourth line where they still get production and kind of roll lines consistently that makes this team an elite one.
And one last one for you, Brad Richards, one-year deal, $2 million a year. Does he come back? Is he worth it? How's he looked?
Yeah, he's been good. You know, everyone thought he'd be the second-line center with Kane, and that was why he was got. Luckily, you know, and it's what he signed on board for, too. And it took about 18 games for Quinville to test that out, and he was good. You know, him and Versteeg and Kane have been a really good line, and they've continued to produce. And I think everyone knows this is a one-time thing where Richards would love another chance of the Cup, but also to prove that he's capable of playing for more years. And both sides signed up for this because the Blackhawks obviously were very tight against the cap, and Richards was willing to take less money because of being bought out and then also for the opportunity. So I don't think there's any chance that he's anything beyond this year. The Blackhawks also have a kid named Teuvo Teravainen that they're very highly on. He's probably the second-line center of the future. So this is a one-time ride, and after a slow start, he's been picking it up. He's out of lineup tonight because of an injury, but he's been pretty good when he's gotten a chance to play with Versteeg and Kane.
Jesse, always great. Scott, always great to talk to you, man. All the best to you and yours over the Christmas season. We'll talk to you in the new year.
Now you too. Take care.